Thank you, folks. It's lovely to be with you. And good to hear that story, Gail. And I kind of reviewed the Hope Explored videos last year, and they're excellent. They really are just so good. You know, just three sessions. I think for this cultural moment, a kind of three-session course is really good, actually. Better than a kind of 12, 25, 43-week course. Yeah, 3 weeks is... I chose random numbers there just in case you wanted to identify a course. Get into trouble, I haven't even started. Very good. I grew up in a home where God wasn't honoured. My parents didn't know the Lord, yeah? And it was a noisy home, and some of the noise was good and some of the noise was not so good. And then when Jocelyn and I had two little girls, Stephanie and Rachel, they're now married, we used to sometimes play the quiet game. I don't know if any parents here played the quiet game. If you don't know the quiet game is that you ask the children to all go quiet, and the first one to speak loses. So you're guaranteed silence for about, I don't know, depends on your children, but somewhere between 2 and 2.5 minutes, you know, until basically one pinches the other and the loser, you know, yelps out of pain. So it goes. So I was telling this story to a potential son-in-law who became a son-in-law, Bertie. There were different young men passed through our house before our daughters got married, and one of them came, and I was telling this story to Bertie, and it was the very first time I'd met him, actually. And I was telling him that, you know, when the girls were young, we used to play the quiet game. And I asked him, in your home, did you used to play the quiet game? He said, no, we played the loud game. And I simultaneously thought, oh no, and I like you. I thought that showed some chutzpah to kind of say it like that to the potential father-in-law the first time he meets him. I liked that, actually. But I equally thought, oh no. You're in this series, and it's so lovely to be with you. It really is. You're in this series about hearing the voice of God, yeah? And this is a good voice. Yeah. And I, whether in a loud moment or in a quiet moment, I wanna hear the voice of God, yeah? This is good noise, yeah? And you and I, we hear lots of voices. And I could go through the list of external voices, voices that you hear from social media and from friends and in church, etc., and in your work, and some of those voices will be helpful and others not so helpful. But then there's the internal conversations. Yep. That possibly others don't have much of a clue of. Yeah? They're the conversations that you kind of have with yourself. And occasionally, those conversations are quite dark, actually. Yeah, they're quite, they're at least grey. Yeah, they're sometimes they're not very bright. Yeah, and my heart is just to encourage us in it, as part of your series, to hear the voice of God through Scripture. Yeah, and I'm going, this is a good voice, and May we listen more to that voice, yeah? Perhaps more than some of the internal conversations we've been having, yeah? This is a good voice. This is a healthy voice. So I'm going to read from Matthew 4. I'll have two parts. Firstly, I'm going to speak about hearing with faith, and then hearing with our hearts. But I'm kind of going to weave in hearing with our hearts to the first bit as well. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 11, and this is a pretty sober moment, really. The Lord's had that wonderful moment. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And straight away, verse 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to them, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Later on we'll read from Luke 24, but Matthew 4 and Luke 24 are kind of bookends to the public life of the Lord Jesus, yeah? It is written, it is written, it is written. And then we'll see in Luke 24, he spoke about everything that was said in the scriptures concerning himself. These are the bookends. These are the markers around his public ministry. Yeah? It is written, it is written, it is written. Everything in the scriptures concerning myself. So firstly, how did the Lord Jesus look at scripture to encourage us to hear with faith? And although this will be known ground to many of you, we've obviously got a culture that is eating away at the foundations. And I personally believe we need to strengthen our understanding of the Word of God and its authority. I personally believe we need to avoid those internal conversations. Is it really true? Is it really for us? Is it really going to give me hope? I think we need to strengthen our confidence. So I'm going to mention seven or eight things in quick succession. Firstly, it's the written word of God. Just pause. Just pause to thank God that you have his word in written form, in your own language, either on your phone or in a book. Just pause. I've met believers who don't have that. Yeah. It's a blessing. Yeah? Maybe just thank the Lord just now. Yeah. Thank you so much that I've got your word. I've got your written word in stable format in my hands, on my phone. Jesus, he went to it again and again. It is written. It is written. It is written. And Paul considered, and the Lord Jesus too, that even letters were inspired by God. Secondly, when Scripture speaks, God speaks. There's an interesting moment in Romans chapter 9 where Paul is writing, he says, for the Scripture says to Pharaoh, for this purpose I have raised you up. The Scripture didn't say to Pharaoh, actually, technically speaking. It was God who said to Pharaoh, yeah? Through Moses. But for Paul, the Scripture said to Pharaoh is saying God said to Pharaoh. To our ears, we can kind of we sometimes, I think, overly distinguish between what God says and what the Word of God says. And there can be a little bit of a distance, yeah? So we hear him speak in some parts, but is this fully the word of God? Are we retaining that full confidence for Jesus, what the scripture says, God says? Jesus was quoting something that had been written 1,500 years before, Deuteronomy. It wasn't recent for him. This was ancient literature by the time of the Lord Jesus. It is written, it is written, it is written from Deuteronomy. And for the Lord Jesus, when God When we read Scripture, or when we meditate on Scripture, God is speaking. It's not just that he speaks, or was speaking, or spoke. He is speaking. A couple of verses on this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Romans 15, verse 4. For whatever was written, whatever was written in former days, was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have... It doesn't actually... The next word is actually not knowledge. Knowledge is fine, but that's not the next word. That through the endurance and through the encouragements of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Hope through the Scriptures, written for us, speaking to us today. Friday, I'd like to give a couple of examples. Friday, I was reading in 2 Chronicles. I would try to read the Bible each day. And it spoke in chapter 6 or 7, it spoke about afflictions, and it spoke about God hearing our prayers, and it spoke about God having the ability to fulfill what he had said he would do. And those three little things were just such an encouragement to me, because I was feeling pretty weak after 4 or 5 weeks of kitchen replacement by said Bertie. He is a blessing. He did some extra jobs while he was doing it. Afflictions, that he hears my prayers. He hears my prayers for today. Yesterday, it was an encouragement to me. I wasn't sure whether to share this one or not, but as things worked out, I'm driving to Bristol this afternoon, yep. But it wasn't the original plan, but some work that I do, they asked if I could be present there for tomorrow. And forgive me the personal reference, but I was reading Psalm 15 about keeping our word even when it hurts. Yeah? And that just strengthened me. Yeah? That the Lord values Guy, forgive the personal reference, Guy keeping his word even when it hurts. Yeah? The strength and endurance, the hope that comes through Scripture. Fourthly, Jesus considered God's word to be reliable. Prophecy after prophecy, he expected to be come into being. Fifthly, he considered it to be essential to know God's ways. When asked about divorce, he said, look at Genesis 2:24. He didn't refer to chapter and verse, but he quoted it. That was how we know what God wants. In two sentences about sexual relations, about male and female, about stability of marriage. Incredible. But he goes right back to Genesis 2. This is how we know God's ways. That for him, in Romans 6, verse 17, it says, we've been entrusted to a mould of teaching. I think for many of you, you cannot explain your life and the way you live without the Word of God. There is no explanation for much of your life without the written Word of God. Why would I be living the way I'm living? It's because my life has been put into the mould of the teaching of the Word of God, the voice of God, of my Heavenly Father. It's essential for knowing God's ways. Sixthly, it's clear in its instruction. Six times just in Matthew's Gospel, and that was where we mainly used this phrase, six different occasions he said, have you not read? He was saying to Pharisees and scribes on the whole when he used that phrase, have you not read? And do you know, he really wasn't asking, do you know what Isaiah 42 verse 7 says? That he wasn't asking for that level of knowledge. He was saying, I know you've read this. I know you've read this, But why are you speaking and acting like this? And I have to say to myself, Guy, I know I've read this. So, I speak about myself. So why are you living and acting like this? Guy, I know you've read this, the Lord says, about murmuring and complaining. You can probably even quote it. It's Philippians 2, and it's a verse towards the end. So why? I'm complaining about myself at this point. Why the disconnect? Have you not read? And so, in encouraging us to hear the voice of God through Scripture, may we have grace to reduce that disconnect. Seventhly, the devil quoted Scripture here. But for Jesus, it was sufficient to quote Scripture back to him. That Scripture was sufficient to test any other truth. It is written, Jesus said. It is written, Jesus said. And the devil comes to him a third time. He says, I don't think this is working. Let's try a different approach. Not at all. It is written. And the devil departed. It's sufficient to test. I'd like to read Psalm 119, verse 160. You know, you know that the longest psalm in the Bible is about the word of God. It's about God's speech, yeah? I don't worship the Bible. I worship the God of the Bible. But I'm grateful for his word. And in Psalm 119, verse 160, it says, the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endure forever. I think that's an important concept. The whole of the word is true in its entirety, so you can't pick a verse out of context to make it say something it's not saying. The whole of it's true, but also individual ordinances, individual parts are equally true. Yeah? There's, you know, we don't say little bits aren't true. Every little bit is true, but the whole is also true. Practically, I pray before I read. I ask the Father to speak to me. I still my heart. And then I start reading. It doesn't particularly matter how much or how little. And this is my bread. And I think this is your bread. Because this is God's bread for you. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So let us hear with faith. Now I want to move on, the time that's left, to hearing with our hearts. Luke 24, maybe you can turn with me to Luke 24. I'm going to read 13 to 35. Maybe some of you are in a similar condition to this disciple Cleopas and his friend who are walking. And maybe for you there's I sometimes have this, maybe there's a kind of low-grade discouragement that's just eating away at you, yeah? And we've read already in Romans about the endurance and the hope that comes through Scripture, yeah? See how Jesus handles these people. That very day, verse 13, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and beside all this, it's now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he was going farther. But they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us, for it is today evening, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight, and they said to each other, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? Verse 44, a separate incident with the other disciples. Verse 44, then he said to them, These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. These are the bookends. Matthew 4, it is written, it is written, it is written. Luke 24, everything concerning myself. I don't read the Bible to know the Bible. I've done that. I read the Bible to know my God. I read the Bible to know the Lord Jesus. I used to read the Bible. At one stage, I was kind of influenced by what's called dispensational teaching. Yep. At another stage, I was influenced by another form of doctrine. Yes, another form of systematic theology. Now, I used to read the Bible through this scheme of doctrine and then through that scheme. And these were the lenses I had. Today I truly hope that I read the Word of God to know Jesus more, to let him surprise me. There was one day that I was walking in Peru, and I served there for some years with Jocelyn, and we were making disciples in North Peru. And I was in an area where there were no Christians, and we were taking the gospel to some villages. And one particular village was the village was very poor, and I stayed at this house. I asked if I could stay at the house, and they gave me the evening meal was some rice with a fried egg on top, which after 10 hours walking wasn't a substantial meal. It lacked Mary Deans's baking, put it that way. it wasn't very substantial, but I saw the house was so poor, I didn't stay for breakfast. I didn't want to embarrass them by showing up to them that they didn't actually have, maybe they just had a bit more rice, and I'm not sure they even had an egg the second time to put on it. So I made my excuses and I left. And I then had to climb up to another village, and it would have been a climb about 4,000 feet on no breakfast. Not like Ben's breakfast yesterday. No bacon, no sausages, no breakfast. About 4,000 feet. And towards the top, I was actually having to sit down every 10 metres because I literally didn't have any physical strength to keep going. And I got to this school, and I knew the teacher in this school. I knew her from the town. And I got to the school, and she served for me some little fried pancakes. I don't know how you'd call them. And she put some honey on top. I'm sorry, Ben, but your breakfast was second to that one. It was glorious. It was just glorious. It lifted my soul. It did more than strengthen my body. It lifted my soul. the bread with the honey. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I want to encourage you to come to the Word not only with faith, but with your heart, with expectancy, that the Word of God will feed you like that honey did that day. Yeah? Some of you are probably tired and weary. You may have been climbing a long time without a lot in your stomach. I'm not blaming you. There can be circumstances that happen. There is bread. There is honey, and it's sweet because it's the voice of God. I'll gonna end with a couple of things. Firstly, a wee illustration, and this is maybe for the older ones. So please, does anyone remember the slogan for the Bounty Bars? The ad first came out in the 1980s, yeah?
Taste of paradise.
Well done, Jocelyn. Could you?
I'm not that old.
you can share this with someone.
You can choose to share it. Yeah. There are two there. I don't want to cause the relationship difficulty.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but I need a taste of paradise. I need a taste sometimes. I need the endurance and the hope that comes from the scriptures. Did you notice they said, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while we opened to us the scriptures? He talked about the scriptures on the road. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you to speak the word of God to one another in informal moments. Mm-hmm. Don't wait for the Bible study moment. Quote something from scripture. Bring scripture into the normal moments. I'm not suggesting you be hyper unrealistically spiritual. But please let's avoid a culture where we have lots and lots of chit-chat and then we go into the kind of holy moment. Weave the word of God into the road. Yeah? Do what you can to just weave it in. It may feel clunky to start with, but this is how Jesus acted. I'll end with a testimony. This testimony is nearly as old as the Bounty ad. No, it's older than the Bounty ad. When I was a teenager, I was given what in those days was called a Gideon's New Testament. I think they're called... Good news for everyone today, the Gideons, yeah? But they gave out these little New Testaments, yeah? And I would read that without anyone else knowing. I would read that New Testament. And there was one verse that really got to me. And this was the gospel text that really got to me. It was, treat younger women as sisters with absolute purity. That really got to me, because I knew I hadn't. I wasn't particularly scandalous, but I definitely hadn't kept that standard. A few years later, I was with my cousin, the first Christian, really, that I really knew well, and someone who had become a Christian. And I asked her what happens to the animals when they die, because I was making fun of her. And she turned to me very gently, and she said to me, Guy, what's going to happen to you when you die?
The power of the Word of God. Instantly, it came to my heart, treat younger women as sisters with absolute purity. And in my heart, I knew that I was not going to be with God. Instantly, I asked, she had no idea this was happening, by the way. Instantly, I just crawled out to God in my heart that he would forgive me. The power of the Word of God. Yeah. They were fitting my kitchen, as I say, and they fitted everything in. But there was one thing missing. It just needed a turn of the tap for the sink to work after a few weeks. What glory to see the water coming through the tap. Just a turn on the tap. I encourage you, when you're reading the Word, ask the Lord to turn the tap on in your heart.
Don't sit in front of the word, just waiting and hoping that something might come. Ask the Lord to turn on the tap and to pour himself into your heart. Thank you, Julian.